Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule only.
Great God evening, everyone. Welcome, welcome listening audience to another conversation with Pastor Bridget, sponsored by Totally Whole. Amen, amen. We are grateful that you have decided to tune in, and we are asked, as we always do when we come on, that you would perhaps pause and go and call someone, text someone, email someone, Facebook someone, Instagram someone. You all know how you do it with all the social media outlets that you are engaged in. So do invite someone to call into the show tonight. We believe that the topic is going to be quite interesting. And it is one that we do indeed need to have. So we are indeed excited about tonight's conversation. Some of you may have had the opportunity to take a look at tonight's conversation's description. So hopefully you have. So I am thankful again for Dr. Rosemary allowing me to have this opportunity to share with you on this broadcast. So again, thank you so much for being present on the airwaves with me. And I do pray and hope that you have had so far a great God day. And hope that you have indeed been blessed so far throughout the course of your day. And I trust that as the evening goes on, you'll continue to be blessed by the Lord. So anyway, getting to tonight's subject matter at hand, we will be talking about the village. Where is the village? It is time for the village to step up and to come into its, I guess I would say, needed position. Let me say that is needed position. If we ever needed the village before, we sure do need the village right now. We need the village right now to step up and to come on board and to take an active and present role in the lives of the community and the lives of the village. Amen. And so we all have, most of us anyway, have had some knowledge of the incident and South Carolina recently with the young lady who got into the altercation. Well, there was an altercation with the officer. So most of us have heard about that. And so that is kind of what prompted this conversation for tonight about the incident that happened and what's happening with our young people. Our young people are dealing with a whole lot. There's so much going on that our young people are facing. And so what is causing some of the stuff that's going on with our young people, And where, you know, where is the community in all of this? And, you know, one of the things I think that is so important is that that the community tends to come out after something has happened, and should we be there before it happened? You know, that's the question that, you know, we need to also raise. Should we be there before it goes down? So I'm going to read a little some statistics here. And one of the questions in my exploring, looking at the situation with where's the village and looking at which, you know, teenagers and our youth are today, why do some teens fight? And one of the things, as I was reading, I was looking at a specific statistic that they had given about why teens fight, and it talked about how looking at some of the kids around the nation and asked them a couple of questions, as you know, they identified the cause of most recent fights they had witnessed, and most frequent responses were as follow: someone insulted someone else, or threatened them, or someone treated them disrespectfully. I thought that was quite interesting, and they said about 54% in terms of the responses why teens get into fights. Then the other one was there was an ongoing feud or disagreement, and that was about 44% of why they get into fights. Someone was hit, pushed, shoved, or bumped. Someone spread rumors and said things about someone else. And we know the danger of rumors. Rumors can cause a lot of chaos. rumors. It was a song out some years ago. It was talking about, look at all these rumors, you know. And so stop spreading the lies. I'm not a singer, y'all, so don't judge me. Don't judge me. So, we, you know, those kind of things can cause definitely problems. If it caused that, and even in older folk, and we know that, you know, young folk don't have as much judgment as they ought to as it relates to their maturity. Some could not control his or her anger issues, and that was 39%. And if I didn't quote the rumors, that was 40%. Other people were watching or encouraging the fight. Have you ever, you know, some of you all have Facebook, some of you may not, but you may see on somebody's Facebook, they like, you know, folk will post, you know, these crazy things. Wretched is one of the, I think the media outlets that post these, some of these fights. And you can see the young people watching and encouraging the fight, and they're kind of like cheering the folk on as they're fighting. And so that's like 34%. And someone who likes to fight a lot was involved in that kind of issue as far as why teens fight. That's like 21%. And the other one is there was an argument over a boyfriend or girlfriend. That's 19%. Why teens are fighting, according to this survey. And then there's the other one, someone wanted to keep a reputation or get a name. You know how that can be, 17%. So, you know, those of us who were once teens, some of us witnessed that, you know, as young people ourselves. But I think that young people have more pressure today, and they deal with issues that some of us didn't have to deal with. And so they're dealing with it on a whole, you know, massive scale, where they are seen, they can be seen throughout the world because of the internet. Their stuff will be posted and can go viral in a minute. And so some people want to be celebrities. Some people, you know, want to make a name for themselves. And so they put all that stuff out there. And so the other question was, is school violence a public health problem? Is it a public health problem? In 2012, there were about 700,000 non-fatal violent victimizations at school among students 12 to 18 years of age. And it states here, this is from, I believe, the CDC, approximately 9% of teachers report that they have been threatened with injury from a student from their school. 5% of school teachers responded that they had been physically attacked by a student from their school. And in, let's see here, in 2011, 18% of students ages 12 to 18 reported that gangs were present at their school during the school year. So the question is, who is at risk of school violence? Who is at risk? And some of the risk factors for those who are at risk of youth violence include those prior, who has a prior history of violence, drug, alcohol, or tobacco use, those associated with delinquent peers, poor family functioning at home, poor grades in school, and poverty in the community. And we must be honest and we must look at that, because these things are indeed real. These are happening with young people. They are happening with young people, and these are some of the risk factors that contribute to youth violence and what we are seeing in the communities, what we are seeing in the schools, what we are seeing, you know, all over the place with our young people. Now, we're not saying that all our young people are dealing with this or going through this, but it is such at a level at this point where there's so much of it going on in terms of social media and on the airways that it needs to be addressed. It really needs to be addressed. And so that's why we need to have the village. It is so important that we have the village. And so how can we prevent school violence? One of the things in looking at the village, and the minute I'm going to introduce Pastor Ava, and she is going to chime in just a minute. But one of the things in dealing with our young people, because whether you have a you know, your children, you know, if they're grown or they're out the house, you know, you may say, I'm not affected by that. But in actuality, you are, because, again, you are part of the village. You may have a grandchild, you see. You may have a niece. You may have a nephew. You may have a cousin, you know, a neighbor, a best friend who has a child, a godchild. All of us are affected by this one way or another. All of us, we are affected by this one way or another. Amen? So it is something that we must indeed, all of us, have a part in trying to add some value, something positive, in addressing this, what we consider a crisis, something that needs our attention, that needs our attention. And so it is important that the village steps up. And there's a traditional African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And so we have heard that quoted, you know, in several places. And so the village, if we've ever needed the village to step up, we need the village more now than we've ever needed the village before. And so we know that we live in a fast pace, and we live in a, you know, instant kind of information system. You know, we see a pressure-packed kind of world that we are living in. And so our children are facing a myriad of things that's definitely challenging. And so trying to navigate through parenthood can be a daunting undertaking. And so there needs to be partnerships and support systems that are welcome and necessary as it relates to preparing our students for tomorrow, for their future. So it takes a village to keep our children safe when they are playing in the neighborhood, on the playground, in the parks, when they are walking home from school. And, you know, one time the neighbors, your neighbors, and this is, you know, of course, you know, back in the day, and some of you who are listening in on the radio tonight can attest, you know, the neighbors were there, and played just as much of a role as some of the parents did at times, and they looked out for the children, and the children respected the elders. They respected Miss Sandy down the street. They respected, you know, their elders. However, we live in a society and a culture now that folk get bent out of shape if you say something to their child that they feel like they don't like, and that you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that. And so we have lost that sense of that aspect. Well, I guess I would say that a sense of community, we have lost that. And so where do we go from here? And so what's going on? Pastor Ava said something very interesting that really caught my attention. And she talked about the outrage that folk had, rightfully so, she stated. She'll be able to speak her own piece at the officer. We all were outraged by that. But she talked about it from also another, she added another perspective in that. You know, where's the outrage when, I believe, a couple of, maybe in the same week or a couple of days later, we saw some students being disruptive and, you know, fighting officers and you know, fighting principals and teachers. And so I'm going to ask that Pastor Ava, if she would chime in. She is the pastor of Messiah Temple. And so if she would come on in and chime in, and let's hear what she has to say. What say you, Pastor Ava? Hello.
Hey, Pastor Bridget, God bless you. Thank you so much. A pleasure to once again be on the broadcast with you. God bless you, mighty woman of God. As you mentioned, you know, we don't want to diminish, you know, when school officials, police officers behave badly, you know, and do things, perpetrate, you know, violence against our children. Certainly, you know, we want to hold their feet to the fire and make them accountable for their actions and their bad decisions. But on the flip side, we don't also want to give our kids a pass when they behave badly in school as well. Now, as you mentioned, I think several days after the incident in South Carolina, there was an incident at a high school in the Atlanta, Georgia area where a student actually attacked the same position. It was a human resource officer, and the attack was unprovoked. And the student lunged at the human resource officer, baiting him in to fight. And when the human resource officer tried to get him just to move on, the student actually began wailing and taking shots at him. And, of course, he caught him a couple of times with the right hook. The student did, caught the officer a couple of times with a right hook, but the officer was able to actually subdue the student and call for a backup, and the student was, you know, handcuffed and arrested and taken out of the premises. But my point is there was not a media backlash when this happened. There was no blowing up of social media, just did not make CNN news. And I think, you know, if we're going to call the adults' feet to the fire when they behave inappropriately with our students, the same passion of outrage, the same outcry needs to be done when vice versa, when students behave badly as well.
And so,
you know, we have to be, we don't want to send, and one of the concerns I have is that, you know, we might be sending a wrong messages to our kids. Like, for instance, like now the incident, going back to the incident in South Carolina. Now, you know, most everyone sided with the student, saying that, okay, she didn't deserve that, and rightfully so. You know, she did not deserve to be, you know, slung out of her chair and slung across the room like a rag doll. But, you know, and of course now, you know, she's hired, you know, or someone on her behalf has hired an attorney, you know, and looking at, you know, suing and whatnot. And my concern is that perhaps maybe this might be sending a wrong message to students by saying that, okay, well, look, you know, I can go to my classroom, behave any kind of way I want to, and if I'm mishandled, it's going to make the news. I'm going to get my 15 minutes of fame. And on the other hand, some lawyer is going to run to my rescue, and I'm going to sue, and then I'm going to make millions of dollars. I'm afraid that, you know, based upon how we respond, it might send wrong messages to our kids.
And so, yeah, I think your point, you know, is well taken, and that is something that we also have to look at and take in consideration as well. And I do appreciate the fact that you did state that, you know, we have to hold, you know, those folk who are trained in terms of handling situations like that and making sure that I think everybody has to be held accountable, you know,
absolutely,
in situations like that. And no, we don't give the officer a pass. Absolutely
no,
not.
No.
And
absolutely
so he too, you know, was totally, we want to make that real clear. He
mm-hmm.
was totally wrong, and that was so unacceptable on all fronts. All fronts.
Yes,
was
he was completely out of order. Yes.
Yeah, and also too, and let me say this as well, and I think we're going to have Shawanda is going to chime in a little bit, who works in the school system. We have to be mindful as well in looking at what's happening in our country at this time, because there is a strategic and intentional plan, you know, that starts in school. It's called the school pipeline to the prison system. And so, yes, our children, you know, are acting out and misbehaving, and we don't condone that by no stretch of the imagination. And that's where the village has to come in, and two, need to be held accountable as well for that type of behavior, because that doesn't happen in a vacuum. You understand what I'm saying, Pastor Ava? It didn't start there in that classroom that day with that young lady or the other ones that are acting out in school. It didn't start there. So what's going on in the society, you know, whatever is happening with those children, that stuff is happening with them before they get into that classroom. And so what's going on in the homes? You know, what are the churches doing? What are the social organizations doing? Where
Absolutely.
Are we in light of stepping in to be that support and to be that sounding board and that encouragement and building up the community, building up our children, and, you know, pointing out to them, you know, what wrong behavior is and how it ought not to be accepted, and we don't celebrate it, and we got to call it out, and it has to be rectified, absolutely so. And our young people are dealing, again, they're dealing with so many things, and their parents who are raising children who, you know, they are dealing with issues, and so we got a lot going on. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to ask, and I'm getting ready to bring Shawanda Kramer in a minute. But also, I want my callers, those who are, you know, listening out there to the show tonight, please feel free to call if you have something to say, if you have some input that you want to give tonight, because somebody may be listening who's dealing with a child, who may be a little rebellious and who's going through some things, who probably could, you know, use some of your wisdom and use some of your encouragement. So don't be shy when I open up the lines. You may want to write your question or your statement down even now. So now I'm going to bring in Shawanda Kramer, who works in the public school system in Howard County, who deals on a daily basis with children and those who are facing some issues. Amen. So,
Amen.
Shawanda?
Yes.
Kramer?
Yes.
Hi, how are you
yes,
doing this
I'm here.
Morning? How
good.
Are you doing? Wonderful.
I'm good.
So I'm not sure if you got to hear some of the conversation so far with Pastor Ava and myself. But we're talking about our young people, and I know that you deal with young folk in school on a daily basis. You're an educator yourself, and so I kind of wanted to get the perspective of an educator who's right there in the classroom and had that hand-on experience in the face-to-face. And so what I'm looking at tonight also, I'm looking at the village, and the question that I put out there in as far as the discussion is concerned is, where is the village? The village has to be there as well, and so it does take a village. And so, well, what I want you to offer tonight is what you are seeing in the schools with the young people, and what you think perhaps could be some of a solution, or offer some insight that perhaps we could explore.
Right. I work in middle school. I deal with all 6th, 7th, and 8th graders that's more delinquent in alternative education. And what alternative education is, the last resort in a public school before, you know, we send you to an alternative school. These kids come with backgrounds of underprivileged families, poor academics, severe behavior issues, just trying to get them back on the right track, even some that has been retained once or twice. Some of the kids have criminal records, some have probation officers. We're talking about kids that are straight fighters. And you got some that come from families of parents that do care, and then you have some that come from families that don't care and feel like you're just nitpicking with a child because they have issues, and we just trying to point out the wrong and not the good. But when there is no good, we can't point out the good. And that's where we try to have that parent and teacher relationship and bring parents in for conferences and stuff like that. Some are willing and some are not willing. You have parents that are young, so you basically have young raising young that are close in age. In my building, and I'm not going to, you know, tell the name where I work, but it's very hard, you know, for some educators to deal with the students, and they're not even on, a lot of them not even on alternative ed. You have special ed and you have general ed. In our building is a lot of fighting. You have a lot of disrespect from the youth. You've cussing out teachers or any staff member at that, you know, point. Kids just making a mockery in the building. It is like monkey see, monkey do. So it's just like this imitating spirit. And, you know, we looking at what we see in the physical, but we know that, you know, everything that's in the physical has to, you know, it can happen from this, you know, the spiritual happens in the physical. And so, therefore, what I see is a lot of demonic activity in my building. More of, and like I was sharing with Pastor Bridget, you know, and I was asking for, you know, a lot of prayer. And you have to have a lot of covering because the children are wearing the staff down. And basically it's like the children are in charge. They can do something wrong, but then the consequences does not match the wrong that they did. And so what tends to happen, it just makes it seem as though, hey, I can constantly do this and do that because I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm going to get detention, or I'm going to have in-school suspension for a half day or a whole day. Okay, whatever. I do my time. I'm going back in population. We have kids where, like last week, for prime example, they was all over the place. Looked like a herd of animals. I mean, just storming through the halls, just running constantly. We got pregnant people in just running. And then, you know, they fall on the floor. and they just crack up laughing. Someone was laughing like hyenas. You know, you had other kids laughing like different animals. And I was like, oh, something just not right here. And so it was like a domino effect. Like if, like the movie, you know, Fall, if I walk past you and touch you, then you got what I have. And we really want to call that antimatter, where darkness is attacking antimatter in the next person. So if your spirit is not in a place where God wants it to be, and as far as these children, it's not the darkness that's within them is overpowering that which is good. And so it tends to attach itself. And so now you have this person doing the same thing, that person. So if I'm not right and I see my friend or even another student at that matter cuss a teacher out, then I'm going to do the same thing. It's like a domino effect.
One how do you all handle deal. That? How do y'all, how does the staff handle that kind
the staff
of
can't,
behavior?
They can't because when they try, they get cussed out by the kids. The administrators can come, but there's not a great effect because the kids don't care for the administrators. So they will cuss out the administrators. They have no problem in that. And they'll tell you, send me home. My mother don't care or my daddy don't care. You know, so when you have the head in charge that's not effective, then when it comes to the staff don't have the backbone. And to what tends where the kids run the building. And so I'll give you a scenario. One of my students, my caseload, she threw an object and things at a substitute teacher and cussing him out and everybody else out, walking out the classroom. It's always F-bombs, B-bombs. But then the only thing they wanted to do was do an in-school suspension. And I wasn't willing to take her, even though I do in-school suspension, because some things are meant for out-of-school suspension. And my thing is, when you allow students to think it's okay to do what they do, because technically any type of physical altercation with any staff member is technically a 20 to 45 day suspension, and that means you're going to the superintendent. In our building, it haven't been like that lately. It's been more of one day or half day, and the staff don't feel like they're supported. And so what happens is they get worn down, they get stressed out, and they're done. But with me, because I have a relationship with the kids, I'm not disrespected. They don't come at me like that. They know who they can play that with and who they can't play that with. But I also have to teach them accountability for the actions and the consequences that comes with the action. They will accept it from me, but if the next person said, they won't accept it. But we have to teach them they have to respect all adults, whether you like them or not. But then once again,
let me ask you this. Wait a minute. Let me chime in here real quick. Let me ask you this. As you said something about in terms of you having a relationship with them and they don't respond to you that the way that they perhaps respond to the other ones. And So you're saying that it's because you have a relationship with them that they don't respond to you like that, and so when they don't
and they
have
know
a relationship,
who I am, and they know who I am, and they know I'm not going to play it, and they know I'm not going to tolerate it. Some staff members, it's not that they tolerate it or want to tolerate it, is they feel like the disrespect is so heavy. And you have kids, you know, in the county feel like, oh, this teacher is racist, or oh, they don't like me, so that's why they keep nicking, picking on me instead of holding ownership for what they've done. And me, I tend to show them what has happened and show them how things could have been avoided and what they could have done better. another staff member can do the same thing I'm doing, but they will not respect them.
Okay. Okay. So the students that you have encountered at your school, that's the kind of episodes that you have been witnessing at your school. Okay.
It's very dark in our building, and it's to where other staff members see it, and they asking what is going on. They think it's a full moon, and this is why the kids acting up. I said, no, indeedy. It's not a full moon. It's called Satan is on the rise, and he's after the youth.
Yeah. And that needs to, you know, of course, when you're dealing with, you know, the state, you know, the whole separation piece, some folk ain't going to see that. And, of course, they, you know, one of the things, of course, God is not welcome for them, you know, especially the Christian God in schools these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all of this uprising going on. But I go back to what's happening in the homes and what's happening in the community, what's happening in the nation. And so some of this, too, is contributed to the fact that these children don't have, you know, someone to show them love. Some of the kids do have behavioral problems. Some of the kids are, you know, come from broken homes, and some of the kids have learning issues. And so, there's a lot of, you know, there are some factors involved, and we don't overlook that as we discuss this issue as far as the behavior that our young people are exhibiting, you know, in school and with adults. And so that's why we need the village. But if the village is sick, you see, if the village is sick, the children are going to be sick, if you understand what I'm saying. So understanding the extent and the nature of the problem, our kids are dealing with all kinds of stuff. And one of the things, unlike what some of us had to deal with and when we were growing up, all generations have their issues. But this generation is interesting, and I would dare say they're a little more special than we are in that they have a multitude of things coming at them all at one time, unlike our generations, because people are quick to say, well, we all had our problems in our generations and yada, yada, yada. However, that is true. But we didn't have it on this scale. We have cyberbullying. You know, we had our little bullying in school and all that kind of things, but we have cyberbullying, we have this texting, this sex, all kinds of stuff. We have cultural, not just peer pressure, but the cultural pressure is just as fierce as the peer pressure, the one-on-one.
Right.
And, you know, the whole thing with the transgender, the drugs, all of this stuff that is taking place all at one time. That's why we talk about a myriad of things that our young people are dealing with that we, of course, didn't deal with on the scale that they're dealing with. And so if the village is not well, then the children that is producing is not going to be well, and there must be accountability. Obviously, you know, we got to hold folks' feet accountable, and we got to deal with the adults who are also, you know, a part of all of this going on. And when you have parents who are strung out, and, you know, parents who are in jail, and grandmothers who are raising children, grandkids who themselves are still very young, where there is no guidance, and of course where there is no God, you know, where God is not present, you definitely are going to have this type of manifestation that
absolutely.
We see. We're going to have this. And so as a body of believers and those who know prayer and know how to work prayer and know how prayer works, and those of us who have the expertise as well, who have the skills that can go in and to be an assistance and to make sure that we are, you know, a part of not the problem but the solution, and to offer up resources where these kids can get help. Now, I'm not saying all children are going to be helped. We know that some aren't. But there are some kids who want to be helped. There are some kids who are crying out. Some of this behavior is they're crying out for love. They're crying out for attention. They are crying out for somebody to come and to rescue them. They're crying
Amen.
Out. But we know we have some kids who have special needs, like with Sister Shawanda deal with special needs young people. We understand that. And so that's why you have those, you know, programs that are set up to deal specifically with that, those type of young people. And so when we go in, we're looking at national news, and we're looking at what's happening, and we're looking at our young people, we're looking at YouTube, we're looking at this, that, and the other. There ought to be a national outcry, and I would agree with you, Pastor Ava, when you talk about the, there need to be a national outcry for when our kids are misbehaving on a massive scale. I'm not talking about just little, you know, little here, a little pocket here, a little pocket there, but on a national scale, when we see our young people disrespecting adults, that ought to be an outcry, you see. And so we have to hold all institutions accountable, and we have to speak out, and that's why we have to have our voices to sound the alarm, and our hands must work for the good of our children. I want to ask those of you who are listening, with, if you want to, you know, offer up some insight, as I stated, I want to open up the telephone lines if you perhaps have a question or you want to make a statement. What you would do is just press one, and you can make your statement, or you can ask a question if you have one at this time. While the lines are open for you to have your say as well. And so there's much, you know, with much need, there ought to be as many hands who are willing to help. Now, we know that all hands we can't have in the pot, because all hands aren't clean. And so what
That's
do
right.
I mean by that? You know, all hands aren't clean, because everybody who put in their hands perhaps in the pot to help the children aren't there really to help the kids in the long run. So we have to be really, you know, mindful and careful about who we are, you know, who we, you know, allow them to put their hands in the pot. Again, we must be, because as parents, first of all, let me say this, we ought to be good stewards over the gifts. Children are gifts from God. And so we have the responsibility, and as the village keepers as well, to look out for the children, to look out for their well-being, to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to make sure that our children are healthy, and to give them the skills, to give them the tools, to give them the assistance so that, you know, can be healthy. That is so important. Pastor Ava, what say you when we talk about the village?
Well, you know, as it was said earlier, you know, going back to when we were in school, you know, and being, you know, raised, we had seemed like we had a bunch of hands in the pot, clean hands, you know, helping, you know, raise us, you know, the teachers, Sunday school teachers, pastors, along with our parents, you know, the neighbors, you know, ensuring that, you know, that we do right. You know, chastising us when we did wrong, making sure that, you know, we didn't do wrong, and the help was welcome. I don't know what happened to that mindset, but as you said earlier, now, you know, it seemed like so many parents, right, wrong, or indifferent, don't want you to say nothing to their kids. You know, the kids can be burning down the building. Don't you say nothing to them. Don't do nothing to them. So now, you know, it seemed like, you know, and a lot of kids, you know, I have parents who are either weak disciplinarians or don't discipline at all. So, you know, a lot of times the kids that come into the schools, you know, actually have not had any discipline. There's no one there to hold them accountable for their actions and their behavior. So, you know, it seemed like we don't have a village anymore. And I'm not sure what happened to the village. But I think we have to get back to the basics of what worked for us, what worked for our parents. And even if you take, you know, of course, and I'm a proponent that, of course, you know, you know, our educator is on the line with us tonight, as she said, you know, it, and her building, it's so demonic, because, you know, these kids, and of course, you know, we know that, you know, when you take God out of the equation, things run amok. But even if, you know, for the sake of non-Christians, even if we, you know, don't even factor God in the equation, I think we can still have half the battle won, even without God being in the equation, if we just go back to the basic roots of everybody getting involved, everybody taking responsibility to help raise our kids, to help instill moral ethics, integrity. I think that's half the battle right there.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to chime in on that. And then you have to look at as well, there's not a lot of adults, I'm going to say that, that are parenting.
That's
you
true.
Have more people being friends with their kids than parents. You have parents who did not do well with them, so what they try to do is give their kids what they didn't have. And so you have the kids running their household. It is at the place where clothes and shoes is the God and not education to get them where they need to go. You have parents that don't want you to say nothing to their kids because the behavior is allowed at home.
Mm-hmm.
I had a parent that told the administrator, my kid cusses you out because she don't like you. At the end of the day, mother, it's not acceptable. I don't
That's
care
true.
If your child don't like the administrator or the staff at all. They don't have the right to say any curse word out their mouth to no adult. So that goes back into, is the child in an abusive relationship at home to where the parent thinks this is acceptable to be done at school?
Well, and you know, and as quiet as it's kept, I've taught in public school for a minute or two, and I was telling a friend of mine over the weekend, I wish I had a dollar for every parent that came up to the school, either defending, justifying, or denying, you know, bad behavior. You know, and I'm like, okay, well now, we're here. We called you in. You know, we're getting ready to suspend your kid, because your child has done X, Y, Z.
Right.
And the parents are either in denial about it, justifying it, or, you know, are condoning it, you know.
Right.
And you know, and at the bottom, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, where, you know, where did all of this break down? What has happened that that parents are not even concerned or even engaged in their child's behavior in school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it goes back to parents. You know, when it comes to education, you have some parents that haven't even finished school. You have some parents that is on eighth grade education, so they wouldn't know how to help their kid anyway because babies are having babies. And that's just the reality of what's happening now in our society. We have kids in our building that are like eighth grade, but only on first and second grade reading level, let alone math. But then the standard of the curriculum in education have gone so high to where the kids are not meeting the standard of college bound and ready. You understand what I'm saying? There's more standardized testing that is labeling your kids either above, on, or below. If your kid ain't meeting that standard, you know, because we're allowing the test to dictate who the kid is, is really hard because the educators at this point are being evaluated according to how the child learns. If we can't get that child to that level, then our evaluation is bad. And that's the sad reality where teachers are, you know, it's a win-lose situation here.
Yeah. Let me speak to something you said. You talked about, you know, the parents not perhaps not being able to, you know, having their own maybe eighth grade education, and they may not be able to, you know, step up and do what they need to do and help them with the instructions. I want to talk a little bit about as far as that is concerned, that was a failed system as well, as far as a failed education system that they mm-hmm. perhaps got that was inadequate for them, where they didn't finish, or whatever factors that they were dealing with that could have contributed to perhaps why they didn't learn, why they didn't finish school, or you know, get the degree, a high school diploma rather that they needed, or what have you. There's also on the other side of this, in terms of this conversation that has to be brought to light, and that is policy. There are policies that are now in place that does tie the hands of some of the parents and mm-hmm. the teachers, because kids have rights, they say. And so mm-hmm. there are some things you can't do. And mm-hmm. so, but they expect you see, they
exactly.
expect you to do mm-hmm. this and to do that. But when Johnny or Sally gets into trouble, trust me, Big Brother come in to take them away. And so when you don't have the God factor present, you see, mm-hmm. when you don't have mm-hmm. the God factor present, then this is the product. This is the product. This is
right.
what is produced out of not having God present, you know, giving, you know, again, Pastor Ava, you talked about, you know, in the community and how it was once was, and I brought up the village. For the most part, God was in school. Prayer was in school during those
times. Right. That's right.
And the culture embraced the Lord. It embraced mm-hmm. the Lord. And so you have a rebellious culture now. And so it's producing rebellious children. That you have a culture that is rejecting God. And so mm-hmm. you're going to see that in the children. They are rejecting morals and values. And so if it's not being taught, morals and values aren't being taught in the home and the community, then don't expect it to come from the children, because the children, again, are products of their environment. Amen.
That's true.
And so we, mm-hmm. you know, those of mm-hmm. us who have children, those of us who have some influence over some little child, be it your niece, your nephew, your cousin, your godchild,
right.
your grandchild, your great-grandchild, whatever, you know, niece, nephew, whatever the case may be, we have to be sure. We have to be sure that we are there to be a support to that parent, to be an aid, to be an agent of empowerment, of strengthening that child, of educating that child, giving that child the proper guidance, and making sure we are an example and light for the kingdom of God. That is so mm-hmm. important, mm-hmm. so important. And so I'm gonna close in a minute, and I want to thank you, Sean, for coming on, and Pastor mm-hmm. Ava, you all can remain on the line. But I'm going to say this, and bringing this conversation to a close. God is watching.
Yes, he is.
And God cares, and God is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And because God is watching,
mm-hmm.
God cares, and he is concerned, we as the body of believers must do the same.
Amen.
And though it's bad, yes, is you know, what we are talking about as far as our children, there is still hope. There is
mm-hmm.
still hope. Why? Because God is on the throne. If we can't save all, if we save one, praise the
save
Lord,
God,
hallelujah.
Amen.
For we know that the angels rejoice even over one soul that comes to the Father. And so we may not be able to save everybody, but if we can just save one or two by stepping in and stepping up to be the voice in the village, then we praise God and we thank the Lord, because some child can be saved and life can be turned around.
Yes.
All our children aren't lost. Hallelujah. They are
That's
not
right.
lost causes. They are not
That's
lost
right.
causes. And so we take everything within its context, and we have to be have a comprehensive approach. We have to be comprehensive in our approach, and even when addressing this, we address. We have to address the injustice and the penal system and the justice system that is waiting, that is perpetrating some stuff against our children, because that is real.
Right.
It's starting
right.
in elementary school, where they're taking our kids, you know, and getting them ready for the jail. They even got beds ready for them. They're waiting for this. They have this already in mind, and so they're privatizing the prison systems. It's a money making machine right now, and so that's real. We got to deal with that. We got to deal
that's
with
right.
children who are unruly. We got to deal
yeah.
with children who are out of control, who are disrespectful. We got to deal with the violence in our own community. We got to
right.
deal with it. We can deal with all of it. We got to deal with that. We got to have an outcry for that and march for that as well. We got
right.
to march for injustice. We got to march when police are brutally beating up our people and committing the crimes that they're committing, and not serving and protecting as they should. We got to have
right.
an outcry for that. We got to have an outcry. Black lives matter. We're not saying no other lives matter. All lives matter, but we're pointing out, again, the inequity. We have to be able to be comprehensive in
amen.
Our approach
amen.
As far as the village is concerned. Hallelujah and
right.
amen. So thank you, Pastor Ava. Thank
God bless you. God
Brother
bless
Sean,
you.
For you guys' input, and I see that I guess none of my callers want to have their say. They were listening. Amen. Continue to listen, and I'm
Amen.
Going to make a couple announcements at this time as we continue to move forward in God's grace. God is expecting greater from us. God is expecting greater from us, and the truth be told, our young people are expecting greater from us. And so they're looking for somebody to stand
right.
up for them. I want to mention we have there is a conference coming up. It's called Checkmate, and it's about conquering your opposition and fulfilling your dreams. And you could gain more information by calling 240-583-1880. And that conference starts on November the 6th through the 7th. And it's going to be awesome. If you believe God is calling you to be an entrepreneur, to start your own business, or just to get more tools in terms of how to enhance what you're doing, this is going to be an awesome conference to help you do just that, to maximize your potential. So if you have any questions about it, again, you can call 240-583-1880, and that starts November the 6th through the 7th. It's going to be powerful. The other thing I want to share with you all listening audience is on November the 7th, there's going to be a workshop in light of current economic conditions. Every little bit of information on how to grow your bank account and to build wealth is helpful. And so the presenter for this particular workshop on letting your money work for you is Spencer Boyer, and that will be held November the 7th at 11:45, and that's at 5355 South Slough Drive in Columbia, Maryland. 21045 is the zip code. And then this next workshop is going to be, your presenter is yours truly, Pastor Bridget, and that's November the 14th. And the 21st. So it is two workshops, and trust me, it's going to be powerful. If any of you have ever been to her story, and when I told you it was going to be powerful, and you can attest if you were there, indeed so. So if I tell you it's going to be powerful, it is going to be powerful, because God, if God releases that in me, it is so. So this workshop is called Transform Your Mind, The Power of Thoughts. Do you want to learn how to effectively transform your mind? Do you know how powerful your thoughts are? Would you like to use your God-given ability to elevate your thinking capacity? If that is you, I'm telling you, do not miss this workshop. Do not miss. If you can't make one, make the other one, because it indeed is going to be transformative. Amen. So that's November the 14th and 21st. That's at 11:45. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me at 410-340-5300, and the location is 5355 Phelps Luck Drive, Columbia, Maryland. Zip code is 21045. So please, indeed, join us, and trust me, you will indeed be blessed. I always say, if there's something going on, come prepared and ready to receive. If God has given me something to share with you, come ready to receive, because you can't get anything from God if you're not open to receive. I'm reminded as I close of the man who was at the gate of Beautiful, called Beautiful. He came with an expectation, and we know because he came with an expectation, even though his expectation was to get some coins, to get some money, but he got more than what he bargained for. So if you come expecting, God will do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what you can imagine or think. So come expecting to receive at these workshops, all right? Peace and blessings. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to share with me on tonight and listening. I pray that you receive something that you can share with someone else who may need a little more boosting, a little more pushing, a little more help, as we who are in the village are being the best that we can be and being strong examples for our young people and for one another in this season and in this time. God bless you. Be strong in the Lord. And remember, stay positive. Until we meet again on the airways, God bless. Have a great God evening. And stay tuned for our general announcements.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam, and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms, right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.